This is Neon Culture with Elise Osborne.
Hello.
Hi, Gina. Welcome to Neon Cauldron.
Thank you. This is exciting. I love Neon Cauldron.
Well, don't get your hopes up. It's just a conversation. I hope we do something great, though, because you have this really in-depth knowledge of astrology and the stars and how they affect us, not only individually, but politically and collectively.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I mean, usually I have people getting in touch for charts in kind of waves because I don't advertise. And so it's really interesting to see when those waves are popping up. And they tend to be around eclipse season, or they tend to be around various retrogrades, but they certainly happen when things are a bit crazy in the world also. And of course, it's all connected, so it makes absolute sense.
So, when we were talking a little bit earlier about this podcast episode, you were mentioning how a lot of people are being especially interested in getting read now while there's this political thing happening, and you were saying that what's happening right now with somebody like Dr. Ford stepping up also has really strong significance in the stars. And you were saying there was a relationship with Venus and Mars, I think, that
absolutely indicating. The thing that struck me the most when I started to look into, I mean, often when I do charts, I'm doing progressions or transits related to natal charts. And so I'm looking at what's happening in the stars now and then comparing that back to the person's individual chart. Oftentimes they've already had that done. And I noticed that as I'm paying attention to the Mars retrograde and kind of how it feels and what the temperament is and what the triggers are, because in a Mars retrograde, we really get distance from active energy. And we get a little bit passive aggressive too, but then triggers happen, and there are these outbursts of anger, or outbursts of energy, or outbursts of action. So I was paying attention to all of this recently in the last couple of weeks, and then really started to consider the fact that Kavanaugh had been nominated, or that 45, as I like to call our current president, had nominated this person for the highest court when Mars was retrograde. And I just kind of shook my head and was really willing to watch what was going to happen with it. Because when you start something in a Mars retrograde, it doesn't typically work
professionally.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially, I mean, there's so many pieces that you could align to the Mars aspect of this, but taking an action and having to prove yourself, right, to elevate yourself through masses of people who do the same job to become elevated in it, that all takes some serious Mars energy.
Yeah. So you want him on your side for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you're saying there was a special thing that happens when Mars and Venus have some kind of connection.
Oh, right. Well, so we were talking about the calendar. This is what's really interesting to me and what I'm watching in this astrological phase all the way through to you know, when the next Mercury retrograde ends, which I think happens in December, in mid-December, is that all of these retrogrades are overlapping. So, and they're not, there's tons of retrogrades that happen all the time, but we don't feel them as directly because they're outer planets. They're not personal planets, but these are the three most personal planets, you know, that are actually planets. The moon is the most personal body, which is not a planet, and it doesn't have this kind of cycle. But Mercury's path around the sun is 88 days, you know? So we catch up with it three times a year, and we get confused about what looks like it's going forward and backwards. And this is happening also with Venus and Mars. So Mars started, really the shadow phase started in May, but the retrograde started June 26th. We can note that Kavanaugh's nomination happened on July 10th. And then his hearing happened, the confirmation hearing started after Mars started moving forward again, but had not yet caught up to its original degree back in May. So on October 8th, Mars will be officially out of its shadow. That's interesting because we still have investigation going on, but also because Venus's retrograde starts on October 5th. So these two things are going to overlap.
Oh,
And what's really interesting.
that's interesting that she's running away during Libra season, because Libra, of course, yeah, that's her mom, is Venus, so that's going to be really hard on the Libras here.
But Venus is right now is in Scorpio. So it's going to run back into Libra over the course of the retrograde, but that retrograde is going to start in Scorpio. So yes, it does happen during Libra season in a solar context. And you're right to say that anyone who's a Libra is doubly affected by a Venus retrograde because it's their planet, right? Also Taurus, yeah.
This is Taurus,
And
yeah.
Miss Taurus. But for
I
It's a reinvestigation of values, typically, and it's a reinvestigation of aesthetic and how things are presented, but also how we interact with each other in a pleasurable way. And then you add the
know,
sign that it's in, and you have Scorpio, which is highly sexual, right?
right? Yeah. Yeah, and secretive.
And secretive. Absolutely. I was going to say that. Absolutely.
So this is interesting also, that combination, because what we're seeing here is exposure of secrets, and especially in that the correspondence of Mars and Venus, which are Aries and Aphrodite.
Exactly.
And when Aries and Aphrodite met, like they clicked, they liked each other. But Aphrodite was what, like 2 days old, right out of the ocean. And Zeus was like, oh, there's the Vulcan, he's single, you guys should get married. And it was like some kind of arranged thing, and both of them were like, ew, I do not like you. But they were supposed to be together. So Venus being Venus, and she does whatever she wants, she ended up sleeping with Aries. And the sun, Helios, who just can't help himself and like looks at everything, he decided that was wrong, and he alerted her husband, and he ensnared them in this web, so they were kind of on display, caught in the act. So that was sort of,
On
I
display.
think that, yeah, they were on display, and that was like what happened when they came together. I'm trying to avoid the pun there, take the high road. Okay, so she was she was way better off like about it, like, and she doesn't, I think that because these people are gods, like they can't totally be marred. I think sometimes they're wounded emotionally, and that's why they do crazy things and start wars and whatever, but
There's so
they're
many.
fine. There's no real consequences there, for them. But
When you said they're gods and they don't have the same kind of repercussions maybe a mortal does,
yeah.
thought of a few things. I thought of Medusa.
Yeah, I was also thinking of Medusa. Is she showing up right now?
I've been thinking about what it means to be a Medusa at the moment.
Yeah.
Because she's immortal, she's beautiful, but and she there's the part of the myth where she starts to believe that she can compete with a goddess or a god,
Yeah.
and
Well, that's one side of the story.
that's why I said, yeah, from one perspective.
Uh-huh.
And another version is to think of it from I mean, like, to be a
'Cause I
beautiful
think
person.
believing that she was felt she could compete with a goddess, I think that's why she was punished, but I don't know, 'cause it's also speculative
It
that she would was raped, and it wasn't her words, it was her at worst rapist, at best man of the evening or whatever, like
Right.
he's the one that said that, and
Right.
then she was punished.
And then she was punished. And then anytime you look at her, you turn to stone, right? Anytime you would try thereafter to see her great beauty, you would be frozen. There's this threat of. This it's a male threat, right? It's like a piece of the myth that says to the man that a damaged woman is not to be looked at. I think that's really relevant and interesting.
That's also something that the damaged woman carries within her,
Yes.
and she could lie on either side of it, which is one, I'm damaged goods, I'm less worthy,
It's entirely.
I am not worthy of being seen. And the other is like, if you fucking look at me, I will burn a hole through your head. Like, do not fuck with me.
Yeah, so that's
And
I'm feeling right now, to be honest.
I mean, I think that's the other space. It's like, no, like if you want to look at me and if you want to fuck with me, I will turn you to stone. Like, I'm not interested in that. And even when she's decapitated, her head is used to protect a maiden from being ravished by this titan monster.
Exactly.
So it's, I think of her as like a tragedy, but also that it was, there was a lot of protection
Yeah,
there, you know?
she has the potential to be heroic. And I really, there's so many layers in here. I did think earlier also to connect to Medusa in some ways is the Hanged Man. Retrogrades give us a period of time where we kind of have a hanged man mentality or space. We can't really things or address things or take action.
And we're speaking of the Hanged Man in tarot.
Right.
So in case you're wondering what the fuck we're talking about, if you're not familiar with tarot, the Hanged Man in tarot is hung upside down by the foot, which is actually a really great metaphor for a retrograde.
Right, exactly. And then the other layer there with this Medusa or the Hanged Man is I'm thinking about what it is like to watch a man turn to stone and watching and the anger that he displays, the indignant rage and anger that he displays over the potential of losing being. And powerful in a kind of context. So all of that is layering in between these retrogrades as I'm watching it.
Yeah, and also his behavior is hilarious. I mean, like, who the fuck is accused of these things and goes, no, I didn't finish. Like, let me talk. Actually, I have another idea, okay? Like, you're just like, oh my God. Like, you want, what are you doing? Stop it.
I like beer. I like beer. I shouldn't be ashamed of liking
I
beer.
know, he sounds like a child. He sounds like a
Right.
child. It's like a Rick and Morty episode or something. You're like, how is this real? What is going on? This man is not emotionally capable or intellectually grounded enough to have a simple question asked to him without freaking the fuck out. Like, you need to go home. Like, you can't be here, sir.
But here's what's interesting. During a Mars retrograde, something can an issue of any sort that comes up can be devoid of Martian energy, right? Of Mars, the warrior's energy. So it will inevitably look more Venusian. It will inevitably look more peaceful, more socially appealing. And that is something, for a general audience without a political position, you could apply to Kavanaugh's hearings, his first series of confirmation hearings, right? Even when he was grilled, he kind of had a very even composure. It was a bit more Venusian. And as Mars is gearing up to go direct, I mean, Mars went direct, but as it's gearing up to its original degree of retrograde or the shadow period, so on October 8th, we'll be moving forward and we'll be done with this retrograde. We're seeing outbursts, just outbursts, things bubbling through the surface, right? And then we're going to be facing, starting on October 5th, this Venus retrograde. And Venus going backwards and that power getting taken away is going to be interesting. Now, I've kind of said that I think he won't get through the nomination process based on the Mars retrograde, but this is a moment where we could see women being more forcefully attacked after the 5th.
Hard to imagine, but yeah, I mean, I think that the thing about when we start to see and express injustice, it sometimes feels like the world is dark and dim and scary. But it's like, oh, we finally turn a little bit of a light on, and actually
Yeah.
seeing and witnessing is huge. This isn't something that's new, but the way that we're responding and the way that we give a fuck and we're like, no, this should be better. That is great. That's progress, and that should progress into better spaces. But also, I think some things that I think about, you know, when we talk about a retrograde or that what stars where, I think of it as similar to how strong the influences and how much it ragdolls you really depends on your personal constitution and the work you do with you. In the same way that, like, you know, you hear these stories about, oh, somebody did acid and they like cut their face off with a shard of broken mirror, you know, like.
Right.
That was in them. That was just waiting to jump out in the right, doorway open. So the more
Exactly.
that you get yourself in check and whole balance with the self, I think that it's like, in the same way that you would do a drug, and the more emotionally, psychologically balanced you are, you can sort of guide yourself and not get like totally drawn out to sea. So that's kind of the great thing about seeing stuff like this shift is like you get to see different angles into someone's true colors, and also how they're managing these types of outbursts or like little crevices of
Of character and
insecurity.
psychology. Yeah, you know what you're saying, like it really pairs well with what the purpose of a retrograde actually is in my book and a lot of astrologers' books. And it's essentially a phase where you don't initiate things related to the planet that is retrograde, because it's not time. You can't always have forward motion. You just can't. You can't always be conquesting through achieving, or this kind of activity is just unrealistic, and it's not what life is like. Life needs you to stop and take things into account, and it needs you to revisit ideas that you thought were totally true, that were at the center of your decisions. That really, coming up with this Venus retrograde, a lot of people are going to find their sexuality is going to shift a little bit, and what they need is going to shift a little bit, and it's going to be a little frightening and a little scary, but it also, it takes the fun out of it for a minute. But there's a way to go through a retrograde that allows you to completely revisit all of the insecurities that come up, all of the crevices that in your psychology you don't look at, and to come out with a completely better understanding, and kind of be able, from that point moving forward, to kind of grow into a more whole version of yourself, instead of a version that resists some of the things you need because they don't add up with what you're doing in life. So it's a tough shift. I think we're doing that as a country.
Yeah, and that's the only way to really maintain. You have to consistently do your rounds. I mean, when we think about anything like maintaining a house or a human body or an engine, if you neglect any aspect, if you don't do the rounds and constantly see what's going up, what's coming up or whatever, it starts
Only
to
thing.
deteriorate and fuck with the whole. So
Exactly.
it's a job that will never end. And that's what health is. That's what growing is. That's what healing is. That's what advancing is. It's just constantly doing the rounds and expecting that there will be things out of place that you're supposed to put your hands on and help.
Right, which is different than trying to force yourself through, even if you do the rounds, or if just clocking something and trying to move through it. It just doesn't work that well in a retrograde. I just want to make this point, from the middle of May all the way through to kind of like around Christmas, New Year's, we're in major retrograde cycles for each of the personal planets. If something isn't going right in life, it's okay. Like, this is where it should be popping up. It's just, it's a place where we get to observe that stuff and then kind of work with it in a way that suits us and move forward without having to think about it anymore in the same context.
Yeah, I mean, I think that also something that is coming up for the individual, and when we talk about the stars, then we talk about the mythology, which is just the personification of the stars, and then we talk about public figures and their personification of, greater powers. At this point, Brett is just like a fucking figurehead for white cis male, rich, power guy. So, and Dr. Ford is an archetype of the strong woman who is brave enough to stand up and say something. So we see them as archetypal forces at this point, but that
Exactly.
is triggering the individual. And it's whether it's a woman who's like, yeah, I am Dr. Ford. I am a woman who's put all of my life into my career and has never expressed what has happened to me that was wrong. And now this is coming up for me and I'm being triggered by it. Or this guy who's like, what the fuck? Why is everyone freaking out? Like, whatever. Yeah, everyone's going crazy these days. So what? Yeah, he got accused of it. Doesn't mean anything, you know? And you're like, okay, this is triggering everyone.
Yes.
So if the stars, as they progress on their routes and their ways of intertwining, how is that going to unfold, do you think?
You mean in a prediction
Yeah,
on
let's go
a
predictive. I usually don't like
okay.
to, but I think it'd be fun.
Okay, so we'll do this like it's like I'm placing a bet or something at the horse races, you
Okay.
know. But my prediction has been that because of the date of nomination, that Brett Kavanaugh won't make it through the entire cycle. Another layer of the things that I'm seeing is that this is going to, I mean, I said it before it started technically, but we're here now. In this Venus retrograde moment, there's going to be more people coming forward and more people trying to smear people who come forward. There could be a sexual violence association that happens, and that's just because of the scorpionic connection in Venus. Now, I just like to clarify, I don't think I'm not a traditional astrologer, and so I don't put all the bad stuff in the zodiac on Scorpio. Scorpio is about
You also
transformation.
are a Scorpio,
Oh,
so.
Scorpio helps, yeah. But what is happening is Venus is going through this part of the zodiac called the Via Combusta, and the Via Combusta is a conflict-laden area that it, symbolically it relates to a descent into Hades, right? So it's kind of like going from Libra and all of this kind of beauty and relating and a sense of almost perfecting in the aesthetic aspect of life into a descent into some of the darkest pieces of psychology in order to arise again, like the Scorpio theme Phoenix, in a contemporary context. And the fact that Venus comes out the retrograde in mid-November, Steve, the 15th goes direct the 16th, and that the 15th tells me confirmed, but we're not going to have that seat confirmed until next year
Okay.
because these retrogrades last all the way through this year. And possibly the next person to get nominated would be somebody who has been nominated before or has been, approached about a possible nomination in the
Well, this
past.
will be
That's my guess.
exciting to see unfold. Exciting is a judgment neutral term, by the way. So here we go. And
Here we go.
so also, for the individual, I would like to say to the individual who is going to be experiencing this within their private life of, oh wow, there's this light shone on this experience I'm having of the Persephone, the Medusa, the Venus and Aries, you know, this thing being exposed within me that is like a sexual misconduct or, you know, assault or something of that nature.
Right.
So how can we use the benefits and the power of the things that are active in the stars to encourage women to keep going forward, or men, you know, to keep
Yeah.
going forward in a way that is healing and make sure that they don't feel totally overtaken by these things.
First things first, always, no matter what the circumstances or the stars say,
Yeah.
self-care, right? Self-care is absolutely paramount. You might see, a hundred of your friends coming out on Facebook with their experiences and feel more triggered. Take some space, connect to nature, find a place that you're able to hear yourself, because that's where you will be getting the information
Yeah.
really about what's happening for you in your chart and in your life. As things progress, I'd like to caution anyone about, like suddenly marrying somebody you met 2 weeks
Yeah.
ago, even if it's exciting and wonderful for your character, just to wait till after the Venus retrograde is done, because many times what we're doing in a Venus retrograde is a really large amount of
Yeah.
projection. And we're all really willing to project our desires outward. And then once the retrograde phase passes and we kind of stabilize again, we realize the person we were doing that with is just, that they were just a screen and that we didn't actually connect in the way that we thought. But
That
it's
happens all the
useful. So
time, though,
going
with
to
dating, right? I feel like it really
No,
does.
absolutely does, but it's really highlighted now. I mean, it's very, it can be very like the Venus in Scorpio retrograde energy can be all about repression, all about sexual repression, right? So finding ways to allow yourself whatever it is you need, you feel like you need, that's a valid thing. My only caution is make sure you're safe. Just make sure you're safe and you have your best interests at mind, and don't worry about other people for the moment.
I
Really
think that
watch.
this is really great advice to like watch out for what you're projecting on others and to be cautious about decision making, especially when we're talking about our triggers. Sometimes we'll panic and we just want to go fix it or like put something else on top of it, so it just squiggles back down into the subconscious. I say
Right.
if suddenly there's a light shining on something that has been festering in your soul, in your memory, in your heart, however you'd like to say, I say once the light's there, even if it's painful, even if you don't think you can handle it, you can handle it. And keep drawing out into the light, looking around, seeing that there are so many people who have had shared experience that might be uncannily similar because we are having a lot of collective experiences. And now that that's exposed, that's okay to come out and let the light of day start to heal it.
Yeah, we're at the
I
edge of the
say
together.
also showing up for others and sharing stories with a trusted community can be extremely, extremely healing. And I don't think that you need to worry about the term healed. I don't think that you need to worry about being broken or not, or functional or not. Like just thinking about showing up, breathing slowly, managing anxiety and doing the opposite of what was done before, which has put you in a state of deep pain and despair, which is instead of
Yeah.
hiding it and stuffing it, go ahead and talk to someone you trust. Go ahead and share stories. This is a way of finding the ladder out of the pit of Hades, like coming back up for spring and
This
not
is
being just drawn down into Hades as Persephone, which is.
This is all really personal, actually, too. I mean, this is all stuff that I've had to get better at practicing myself, and realizing that, there's a form of patriarchy in my own self, dismissal. If I don't pay attention to stories, or if I don't pay attention to things, or if I brush them off because I can handle them, for me at least, I've noticed that that is actually something I absorbed. What you're talking about. All of the importance in self-care, it's something that I've come to know personally that you're right about all of these things. This is really solid advice, and it's solid advice because how often we don't report it has to do with not being believed, patriarchy, all this stuff, but it's something we've internalized, right? So we have to deal with it in ourselves in order to deal with it in the world, and that's at your own pace. But I've just learned through accepting instead of dismissing,
Yeah,
or
it's so
saying out
important.
loud instead of saying it just in my head, and then trying to disguise it so I don't have to feel the pain, that I just let the pain grow and persist. And to do the opposite, to say it out loud or to accept it in myself, I get this opportunity to be with myself in a way that is more full and more rich because all of me is there. And that's
It's
huge.
so true, and I think there's this extra insult to injury. We're hearing about your child too, how it affects the family. So beyond professionally and the individual,
I
there
know,
are
we're all
your
robotic, my dear.
what was that?
It's all crazy robotic sounding.
Oh, I'll start over. How about
It's the same.
now?
A really big room robot echo on it. Is that coming across in the recording, do you think?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, do whatever you want to do. I'm listening.
Okay, I'll try to parse it. Hold on.
For some reason, the ending of that interview did not go well. Everything got really blown out and electronically devolved. Gina says goodbye and thank you for listening. And something that got lost there was just a little word to women who are relating to these forces as we're seeing them play out politically. And it doesn't have to be just women, but it is a feminine disposition. And basically, if it's triggering you, if you're finding that if something's happening within you responding to all this news, which is definitely happening, a lot of people are feeling this individual, they're feeling shook, all these things that have been suppressed are coming up. And you're seeing it in the trial that people are talking about how it's affecting their families and the judgment of others and how the people closest to you are going to be affected by your truth, can really keep people in spaces of secrecy and wanting not only to protect their privacy, but also to protect their loved ones. So I'm going to encourage every woman to speak up. Because you're becoming a part of a new type of dealing with this stuff in our culture, where you're not setting a negative example passively for those who come after you, for the women around you who look up to you. I think that being strong, expressing your truth, and not taking shit in this way is going to be really an effective killer of these silent epidemics that are hitting so many women. The more that we speak up, the more we say to another woman, it's okay to speak up. There are so many different ways of having this story. There's so many individuals who are unique and different, and we don't have to stereotype what it looks like to be an assault survivor. So the more we stand up, it's an opportunity for great strength and great bravery. And I'm going to invite you to find not only nourishing and help for yourself, but think about how you are also representing another woman's story and giving courage in ways that you may never even know. So I'm just sending love to everyone who's being touched by this. And I hope that you walk with power in your journey and keep your chin up. Okay, so this has been Neon Cauldron. Thank you for listening.